The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Zen Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts.
I'm imagining, which means I'm making a picture in my mind. I'm imagining a stream or a river. And in places, this stream is quite broad. It fills the whole valley. And in places, it narrows, maybe going through a gorge. And sometimes the stream is shallow and you can see pebbles and sand at the bottom, and sometimes it's quite deep. And sometimes the stream rushes and cascades over rocks and boulders, making a lot of noise and frothing. And sometimes it gets placid, and there are deep, inviting pools. And now I'm imagining, which means I'm seeing in my mind a person in the middle of this stream. And if you watched from the bank of the stream, this person would look kind of hapless, confused, sometimes going backwards, facing upstream, sometimes facing downstream, sometimes just splashing away and making a lot of waves, and sometimes just sinking down for a while, but always floating back up. Sometimes clutching a piece of driftwood as if for dear life, and then always losing it, and sometimes being bumped against rocks by the current. And always moving with what someone recently called a mindless forward momentum. And now this swimmer, if we can call them a swimmer, is in one of those placid places, one of the deep pools. And here's a rhythmic plashing, and turns, and there's a Zen teacher in a kayak coming towards them. And so the person in the water calls out, "Are you a Zen teacher?" And the Zen teacher says, "Yes, I am." And the person says, "Can you tell me, how do I enter the stream?" And the Zen teacher says, Don't go anywhere. Stay where you are." So this is the paradox of our koan. How do we enter a place where, as David Roshi said a couple of times during his Teisho, how do we enter a place where we've always been? I read that in the Buddha's own time, in Shakyamuni's time, his adherents were called stream enterers, stream enterers. And I love that idea. And when I hear stream enterers, I think of a stream running through centuries from Shakyamuni's time, or maybe even before, maybe from the time of the seven ancient Buddhas, all the way to the present. And when we take the refuges, we enter the stream that's been flowing through Buddhas and ancestors for so long. And maybe this is what the monk in our koan is thinking of when he asks, "How can I enter the way?" Maybe this monk is seeing it as a kind of stream. But it doesn't really work that way for us Zen practitioners, I think. When this exotic Indian religion, Buddhism, came to China, after some time, some of those who became interested in it and began to practice it also understandably had been steeped in Taoist doctrines and practices, and brought those Taoist practices and teachings into a kind of inner relationship with this new Buddhist religion. And some of those experiments became what we call now Chan in China, and Zen in Japan, and Zen here. And Zen bears a strong family resemblance to both its parents, to both Buddhism and Taoism. And in Taoism, this stream broadens quite a bit and becomes the Tao itself. The Tao, this energy that flows through everything, this energy that gives rise to everything. The Tao is often seen as a river or a stream, as something flowing. I just want to read you a few lines from the Tao Te Ching. Something mysteriously formed, born before heaven and earth, in the silence and the void, standing alone and unchanging, ever present and in motion. Perhaps it is the mother of 10,000 things. I do not know its name. Call it Tao. For lack of a better word, I call it great. Being great, it flows. And just a bit later, once the whole is divided, the parts need names. There are already enough names. We need to know when to stop. Knowing when to stop averts trouble. Tao in the world is like a river flowing home to the sea. So here we are in this great river. Here we are in this stream. And we ask, how do we enter it? And so, what does it mean to enter something that you've always been in? So it can't be like entering one room from another. It can't be like entering the dining room from the kitchen. It can't be like entering a pond or lake from the beach. You're already there. And so I'm thinking of entering in a different way. Not in the way of moving from one place to another, but as when we talk about entering into a contract or entering into an understanding, maybe entering into an arrangement. So we don't need to go anywhere, but we need to change our relationship to what's there. We enter that way. Entering into a new understanding with your partner who you've been with for years, not going anywhere, not leaving, but changing things, changing your attitude, changing your intention, that word that has come up a couple times already. And let's go back to our little fable, my pinky finger pointing, however vainly, toward the moon. So what's the advantage of knowing that you've been in this stream all along, knowing that you've been in something flowing and changing, and now being conscious of that? And so part of the difference might be that one could act more freely and effectively in the water. That this conscious entering, this intentional entering into what into where one already is, this change in the relationship from a kind of blind floating along and struggling at times and collapsing at times, to still some struggle, still not easy, but now some kind of direction, some sense given to us by, for example, the vows we take, the Bodhisattva vows. Now, I don't know if this is true or not of Taoism because I don't know enough about genuine Taoist practice, but sometimes it's thought of as a kind of going with the flow. And sometimes Zen is mistakenly thought of as a kind of going with the flow. But if we were just going with the flow, how would we fulfill our vows? If we were just going with the flow, going wherever the current and the waves took us, why would we bother taking the precepts? So there is a that there are ways to more skillfully manage ourselves in this flow, ways that cause less harm to ourselves and to others. Ways that we hope will lead to saving all beings, to going through every Dharma gate, to embodying the Buddha way. What can we do right now? Knowing that we're in this stream, knowing that we've already entered, that we don't need to go anywhere. And so we can enter with every in-breath. We can enter with every out-breath. At that little hinge moment between the in-breath and the out-breath, we can enter there. At that other hinge moment between the out-breath and back to the in-breath, we can enter there. We enter right where we are. We don't enter once, we keep entering. This doesn't stop. Every in-breath, every out-breath. So my encouragement will sound familiar because it's the encouragement that David Roshi gave us in his Teisho and the encouragement that Jenny gave us in her afternoon encouraging words. The encouragement is this: don't go anywhere. Enter here. Thank you.